So the most important thing first, just on behalf of our footy club, in particular our players and coaches that have had close dealings with Danny Frawling, particularly Matty Knights at, and Brad Ottens at Richmond, we'd just like to send our condolences to the Frawley family and everyone close to Danny. It's been a disappointing week or a couple of days post-game for us, but it obviously puts things in better perspective, something we all should be searching for. Our disappointment pales into insignificance when you consider what the Frawley family is going through and the football community at large. So one of the positive things, if any, out of these things is how well the footy industry can pull together to support those in need. But right at the moment, that doesn't make it any easier for the people that were close to Danny, which is a huge number of people. He had a way of making everyone's life that little bit easier, irrespective of whether it was in his role as a player or a coach, the CEO of the Coaches Association. No matter how hard Danny was finding things, he always had a way of making it about the other, which is an admirable way to live your life. I might just touch on the injuries before we get into the other stuff as well. So we had a couple out of the game that were notable. Mitch Duncan won't be available, not really in a position to give much more of the longer-term outlook other than to say won't play this week. And Gary Rowan had an issue that meant he couldn't come back on the ground, so he'd be hopefully a test for this week. But, yeah, he's certainly in some doubt. Were there any others we need to talk about?
Guthrie.
Or for you guys. So Guthrie didn't play. He had a calf issue that was minor, and we're confident he'll be available. You guys got anyone else?
Just saw Parford out there not doing a lot. Is there any issues there?
Well, I'm wary because Mitch asked about Cam Guthrie last week and there was no issue. But then he didn't play. So I think Parf's going to be okay, but I won't double down.
Tim Kelly wasn't on the track when we were out there as well.
He's got a sniffle.
Right.
Yeah.
No, Jordan won't play. No, so not sure where we're at with Jordan after this week, but it is clear this week.
Sorry, Tim Kelly training all today.
He'll certainly be away from the group. That tends to be the main priority, to make sure that any sort of infection doesn't spread. Do you want me to give you details so you can go down and have a look?
No.
What are you asking?
Just that he might not have been out the first 15, so when we were out there, but he might train off, so just...
No, not with the players. No, you won't see him out there today. No, he's at home recovering.
And Gary Rowan, I thought you might have pulled up short with a hammy, but obviously the knee was heavily strapped. Is it just the knee, or is it a concern with the hammy at all?
No, there was some concern with the hammy, but they're confident that that's not the issue. It's more a posterior knee capsule problem, I'm led to believe.
Yeah.
Another very athletic ruckman you're coming up against this week. Does that give you motivation to maybe bring back Reece Stan? Where's he at?
Yeah, they're always difficult calls to work out what exactly the right team to play is, but he's well and truly in the mix. They play two ruckmen. Natanui is an athletic one, that's an understatement. Not playing high game time, but a significant threat nonetheless. So, yeah, all those things, as always, will factor into our decision-making over long meeting and discussion.
David King was quite critical of the decision. He described it as horrendous and said that you were to blame for the loss, essentially. How does that sit with you?
Oh, was he? I'm not sure. I think the overarching role for me to play in this situation is to absorb a bit of the criticism. I think that's clear the society we live in, not just for coaches, but society at large. I'm sure you get some criticism as well. And if you're doing your job well, your role is not to spend too much time trying to work out whether the critic is right or wrong. It's to take the feedback from the people that that tend to be the most important in your organisation, not just you as an individual. So we take feedback from people internally, predominantly, and we take some feedback from people externally as well. And that's important to us to improve. But in terms of my role, again, if the criticism is being directed more towards me than the players, then I think that's our system working well.
You said post-game you take 24 hours to reflect on the Stanley decision. Now that's come and gone. How do you look back on that and in hindsight, would you have given yourself more time rather than a Thursday to make that call and give yourself a Friday with that call?
No, we were still talking about the call. You get until 90 minutes before game time, so we didn't need more time necessarily. And I understand you're probably going to say, well, Reece was under the impression that he wasn't going to play on Thursday. That doesn't preclude us from saying, hey, mate, we actually are going to play you. So, we it's not as if we made the call early and we're absolutely committed to it. Most of our time in review has been spent, I guess, ironically, looking forward as to what we're going to do. So, I'll answer your question specifically. So, in reviewing it with the ruck situation, we didn't think that the numbers around the clearance necessarily supported that was the reason that we lost the game. So, that wasn't our analysis that we got slaughtered at the stoppages, metres gained from stoppages. They scored a little bit more from us, but they also only kicked 9 goals. In review, 24 hours post, we didn't think that was the most critical thing in the game for us. Now, most of the time we've spent over the last 2 or 3 or 4 days or whatever it is has been looking forward and what we can do and what we need to do to play well this week. So Reece would be a part of that thinking.
How much focus on the starts, the poor starts?
Yeah, a fair bit. Yeah, I mean, we need to start better. They had the first 11 entries. That's clearly put us on the back foot. So, in simple terms, that's been a big focus. So what to do, start better, is easy. How to do it, a bit more complicated.
Well, some of the defensive lapses are a concern as well. I think some of the goals that Collingwood scored in the first quarter, 2-1-1 situations. And, I mean, do you look at that as just a bad night, or was there something structural?
Can you be a bit more specific with... I don't think they can be structural if you're talking about lapses.
Blitzars, obviously playing more in the ruck, I guess not sort of being back down there to sort of help stabilise.
To fix everything. Again, I think they kicked 9 goals. The part of our review... defensively was that they had 4 entries in the last quarter. I don't think that them blowing us away with 9 goals was the most important issue. And to answer your question specifically, sometimes there are moments that really cost you, a spilt mark or, 2 players running into each other. I guess the easy and hopeful retrospective might be that if you had a different player there, it might have been a different outcome. But there are a lot of moments like that in a game. So we reflect on it all and come to a really balanced conclusion.
I can imagine you find it harder to hear from most, but can you understand the supporters' frustration from round 23? There's a certain look of the team, and then going late to a qualifier final with a different setup.
It depends how important you rate round 23 compared to round 22 and 21. Do you remember what the setup was there?
Yeah, it was against Brisbane.
Yeah, and the week before against North when they kicked 1 goal. Yeah. I understand everyone's disappointed when we lose. That's what I understand acutely. If you want to make it a contest, I'll win.
Do you
want to make it a contest?
No, I'm not this morning, but happy
to. Okay.
How do you bounce back then? How do you get the group ready to go for West Coast? What's your kind of focus?
Oh, accept the challenge. Accept the risk that putting yourself on the line brings. Yeah, accept that the devastation of not getting the job done when the opportunity's there is worth it. to give yourself a chance to prevail. It'd be a lot safer to be outside the arena throwing stones, you know, never really a chance to, you know, experience victory or defeat. We embrace the opportunity that's in front of us. And it's still the same equation for us as it was last week, win three games. But a significant challenge. What a challenge. Going up against the reigning premiers on Friday night at the MCG. It's not many people in their lives get the opportunity to do that. I bet there are a whole lot of people that would love to risk the devastation of defeat to get one chance to do what we're going to do on Friday night. So we embrace it. And yeah, we accept that there's risk that having skin on the game brings with it.
Are you surprised by some of the hype around the Eagles and that many are rating you the underdogs, considering you touched them up easily earlier in the season and finished on top?
Look, I'm not really across the hype. You know, and that's hand on heart. I'm just not, because we've got a pretty intense job, and you potentially can waste a lot of time thinking and listening to stuff that is not as important as what we've got to do. But I'll make some assumptions based on what you've said. Round five is a long time ago, but we play pretty well against them. Slightly different personnel for both teams, different venue, you know, different stakes. So I can understand how some people would dismiss that to an extent. And I can also understand how people would rate them. The reigning premiers, they won a final by 10 goals on the weekend. Everyone's really clear on how good they can be as a team and how good their players are. So, yeah, I probably spent 45 seconds thinking about it that I shouldn't have. But no, it's not confusing to me at all that people would rate them.
Scotty, Paddy said yesterday that in terms of your starts, that you need to take more risks and show more flares. Is it as simple as that, or do you prescribe that message?
Well, it depends exactly how you define it. I think that comes in many forms. We certainly don't want to be passive. So I think sometimes those sort of comments can be misinterpreted as what you do when you have the ball in your hands. And that may well be part of it. But yeah, I think in principle we'd like to be more aggressive, certainly more assertive in the way we approach the game. So the way we defend when we don't have the ball, you know, the way we get set, the way we try to get the game on our terms, it tends to be a little bit more nuanced than just how the ball moves.
How do you go about building Reece's confidence if you were to bring him back, seeing as like 7 days ago you didn't see him in your best 22?
Well, I'm not in the business of explaining exactly how we prepare all our players mentally and physically. Suffice to say that we're very confident that Reece is in a good place if he plays on Friday night. You know, he's in a big group of players that didn't play on Friday night, who we think are capable in the right circumstances. So I don't think it's really fair to isolate it to Reece necessarily. We've got some players that will come into our team that didn't play on Friday night. And you tend to get confidence over a long period of time through good execution and performance. And we have the players that have done that across the course of the year. So we're not guessing whether we're good enough. It's not as if we need to pull a rabbit out of a hat. We need to deliver on the type of execution that we showed throughout the year. That's the challenge.
Chris, I'm aware of the fact that you said the midship, there's no certainty beyond this week, but what is the actual diagnosis?
Medial ligament injury.
Yes, the medial.
Yeah.
Thank you, sorry, I just needed that clarified.
That's okay.
In terms of your coaching, do you feel this is the most scrutinised you've been in your tenure at Geelong in the last 72 hours?
I don't really know. I don't know. I'm a notoriously bad rater of these things. Is this the best year you've had, or the worst year, or the best team, or where does this rate in terms of your best win ever? I don't know. I don't spend much time thinking about it. If I reflect back a little bit to whatever it was, October 2010, I was aware of the challenge that was in front of me, taking over a team in the position that Geelong were in. And I don't think I've been more aware of that. I'm not sure whether I was more aware of the challenge then or I'm more aware of it now, but it's always been there. It's shifted a little bit through the evolution of our list and our situation. But now my job is to do my job, not to worry about the opinions of those that probably don't have as much information as the people internally do.
Brendan, what's said about the slow ball movement? I know you touched on it that it's been like that for 22 weeks, but do you feel in the pressure of finals that you're a little bit susceptible because of that? Like, lowest score on the weekend for the fourth consecutive year is coming final. Do you feel that the slow ball movement hurts you in the big pressure moments in September?
It's a consideration. I mean, we consider everything. So if I've been defensive about it in the past, that wasn't my intention. I think, as you say, over the course of a 22-week season, our scoring and our ability to defend statistically has been pretty good. And over the course of a few years, you know, even though this group's a bit different, that's been pretty good as well. But no, I'd be surprised if historically the best football people would say in the big moments in finals you've got to take more risk. But it's a consideration. I think it tends to be more execution. So our scoring was disappointing on the weekend, but you know, expected scores, it's actually not that sophisticated a number, but it does give you a bit of a guide as to the score you should have kicked. And if our expected score was on par, we'd win the game. So accuracy and efficiency, I think, tends to be a little bit more of our focus rather than just the really sort of superficial idea of, hey, let's move the ball a bit faster.
What do you make of Tom Hawkins' form, Chris?
Once again, it is a game of inches. So the first real chance he got in the game on the weekend was a contested mark on the wing, which he marked. First inside 50 we had, he marked, went back into a strong breeze, kicked a goal that, well, kicked one that was touched. You know, and, I mean, you talk about a game of inches, it was less than inches. So that one goes through and it can change the context of the game. He gets another shot that he kicked 99 times out of 100 and misses it. And now the context of his performance has really changed. And the way the game was played wasn't really conducive to the big forwards, but I mean, now I'm going back, but I don't mind. I mean, I remember in 2011 just having extreme confidence in what Tom Hawkins could bring. And you fast forward to 2019, and I've got extreme confidence in him again. He's been a fantastic player for us this year, and I expect him to be a really good player for us on Friday night.
West Coast kicked 7 goals from 7 clearances last week. Do you sort of almost have to set up more defensively in the middle than you would normally at those stoppages?
You need to consider it, don't you? Like the Nata Nui impact in there, and he's not out on the ground a lot, but the centre bounces become really crucial. I guess it becomes a bit of a game of how much do you defend, and it needs to be a fair bit, versus how much do you take the chance to counterattack. We have had the experience over the years that sometimes being too proactive in there can go against you because it either works really well or it goes against you really badly. And we have some players that can punish any opposition team that gets a little bit too proactive. So, yeah, there's a bit of risk-reward there.
Chris, so we're armed with the right information. Who outside of the 22 that didn't play Friday night are you legitimately considering bringing?
Oh, you're testing my memory on the spot a little bit. Do you want me to go through them one by one? Parsons, Scott Selwood, Lockie Henderson, Cam Guthrie, Reece Stanley, Charlie Constable. Help me out, Lloydie. There are a few others. Lockie Fogarty would be a chance, but he's just had an ankle injury in his last game in the VFL, which is still holding him up. But yeah, at full fitness, he'd be in that group for sure. Did I miss anyone? Do you want me to say Nakai Cocker too? I want to say it. Otto, he'd be handy.